Good evening. The time is 8 p.m. Weather conditions clear. Temperature 56 degrees.
Well, good evening, one and all. My name is Tim, call sign N2LCJ, and I'm located in Cheektowaga, New York. Welcome to the Barra Tech and Informational Net. This net meets every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Our focus is on the technical aspects of amateur radio. Whether you're an experienced operator, a new ham, or just curious about the technology behind our hobby, you're in the right place. During this net, we discuss topics such as equipment, antennas, propagation, digital modes, troubleshooting techniques, and emerging technologies in amateur radio. The goal is to share knowledge, learn from one another, and encourage experimentation and problem solving within our community. All licensed amateur radio operators are welcome to participate. Please keep transmissions concise and relevant to the technical topic at hand. When checking into tonight's net, please give the club call, W2EUP. Let up on your mic and listen to ensure that you're not doubling. Then give your call sign slowly, along with your name and location. This week's topic is Motorola and the Ham Radio Operator, an introduction to the rabbit hole. Let's get started by taking check-ins for the Barra Tech Net. Check-ins, please call W2EUP.
W2EUP. K-A-A-T-B-Y-U, Roy and Blaisdell.
W-2-E-U-P.
W-2-E-U-P. Good evening, this is Bill, November 4, November, Juliet, Juliet, Henderson, Nevada.
W-2-E-U-P. W-2-E-U-P, this is November 2, Foxtrot, Tango, Whiskey, Dan, Mobile, and Kenmore.
W2EUP. Here is W2ZZA, Dave in South Cheektowaga.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is KE2HCT, Rick in Kenmore.
W2EUP. W2EUP, Kilo Kilo 4, Juliet Juliet Kilo, John and Hamburg.
W2EUP. W2EUP, KC2LEF, Ray and Getzville.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is W2TEW. Tom and Williamsville.
Town of Tonawanda.
W2EUP, this is KI7VLP, Kilo India 7, Victor Lima Papa.
W2EUP.
This is KC2XT, Rick Tonawanda.
W2EUP.
This is W2BYJ, Thomas in the city of Tonawanda.
W2EUP. This is Ted, WA2HKS in West Seneca.
W2EUP. This is KE2GCW, Greg in Snyder.
W2EUP. W2EUP, this is AC2KS, West Seneca, New York.
W2PE. N2UGS, Jeremy in Williamsville. Good evening.
W2EUP. This is AA2DO, Dave in Amherst.
W2EUP. This is KA2WCM Mobile, Amherst. Name is Joe.
All right, well, we've got a healthy first call going. I'll acknowledge the following stations: N2UGS, KA8BYU, N4NJJ, N2FTW, W2ZZA, KE2HCT, KK4JJK, KC2LEF, W2TEW, K2LED, KI7VLP, KC2XD, W2BYJ, WA2HKS, KE2GCW, AC2KS, AA2DO, and KA2WCM. Okay, we're going to be taking another round of check-ins after the preamble. For the moment, let's move on to the presentation. You can follow along with us at Bera-Tech.com. That's Bravo Alpha Romeo Romeo Alpha Dash Tango Echo Charlie Hotel.com. Then click on the weekly topic to see today's presentation. There are also some pictures and some other relevant information in the PowerPoint, so if you'd like to follow along, please join us there as well. Let me drop it. Okay, to begin tonight's presentation, I'd like to welcome everyone on the Bera TechNet. I've been given the honor of being host and net control for tonight's presentation, which I've entitled Motorola and the Ham Radio Operator, an Introduction to the Rabbit Hole. I'd like to thank Jeremy, N2UGS, Bill, N4NJJ, and Rick, KC2XD, for the opportunity to speak on what has become a great passion of mine. To prepare for tonight's presentation, I mentally went back in time about 2 years when I went down my own personal Motorola rabbit hole, when I met my good friend Sharon, KC2ORI, and today's her birthday, so happy birthday, Sharon. Just figured I'd throw that out there. She would throw all these model numbers, names, splits, yada yada, and a lot of alphabet soup around that I had absolutely no grasp of. What the heck are you talking about? You might hear me talking to Jeremy or Steve SLV or whoever doing the same thing on occasion. My hope with this presentation is to take a little bit of the mystery out of the whole thing and give the listener a basic understanding of the things I've had to learn while making it informative and entertaining. We won't get into the advanced nitty-gritty unless you ask, God help you. And I hope you'll come away with from this evening's presentation with some really good information. I will at times refer to different model numbers to give a few references. If you have your phone or computer handy to look at a few pictures, this will add to your experience here, especially from the power presentation at Bera-Tech.com. Or you can even use Google. During tonight's presentation, the radio I am using currently is a Motorola Astro Spectra. Because if I'm talking about Motorola, I guess I should be running one as well, right? In fact, if you'd like to see the radio setup I'm using, please check out my QRZ page, or you'll see a picture of it on the PowerPoint presentation. Again, my call sign is N2LCJ. On there, you'll see a pair of stacked VHF and UHF Astro Spectras arranged in sort of a dual bander setup. Pretty cool, if I do say so myself. All right, we'll take a quick break for further check-ins. Please call W2EUP.
AB7VGK.
Okay, we've got KB7 VGK, and there was another station in there. Sounds like you're barely making it to the repeater. Try one more time. Okay, well, we'll take another round of check-ins at a future point. So the first question that everybody's asking, why would I want a Motorola as a ham radio operator? Well, I guess the best reason is listening to someone on a repeater talk about their brand new VHF, UHF ham radio purchase. Usually it goes something like this. Yeah, I decided I wanted to pick up a new radio for the shack, so I shopped around online and I ordered this new Anytone. It has pretty good reviews, so I figured I'd give it a shot. It was only around $200, and it's a dual bander with like 200 memories. I haven't figured out all the programming yet, but I've got some frequencies in from Chirp, and it seems to be working. I mean, it's all right. I guess it's not a bad radio. How's it sound? So what's missing here? Excitement. Now, see, I'm of the opinion when you buy a radio, it should be fun to use. When you hear somebody talking about buying an HF rig, their voice is filled with excitement at their new purchase. But have you noticed it rarely happens with a VHF, UHF radio? In this example, the ham just bought a $200 toaster. The wires get hot and it makes toast, but it's not something that makes you look forward to eating toast. It's an appliance that does the job. And let's be honest, the Chinese make a decent radio, but it's not very high on the fun factor. And the more features it has, the more complex and unintuitive the radio really becomes. Now, those of you who are firearms enthusiasts understand that the gun hobby is a very tactile experience. When you hold a police-issue 38 Smith & Wesson in your hands, you're holding an example of fine craftsmanship. You feel the wood grip, the blue steel, and the precision machine barrel, and it really is an intoxicating experience. I myself don't own a police issue 38 Smith & Wesson, but if I did, I'd probably walk around the house with it in a holster on my belt, unloaded, of course, and watch movies with a degree of violence and sit on my sofa and dry fire the crap out of it at bad guys on the screen. Maybe I'd dry fire at spiders crawling on the ceiling, or dry fire at politicians conducting interviews on TV. Gun guys, you know you want to do this. Maybe you already do, and you just don't tell anyone. If this is you, then you get the Motorola experience. You're not only using a radio, you're holding something real, something with a storied history, something built with quality, something made to save lives. And chances are, you've given it a new purpose. This is probably the best reason to own a Motorola radio. Let me drop it. Now, one statement I hear quite often is, yeah, but I hear they're difficult to program, that you need special computers and all that crap. My response to that is, yes, but. Now, let me make it clear that I'm not a computer guy, as hams define a computer guy. I don't know how to format Linux. I don't know what a Proxmox server is. I don't know how to program a VoIP phone. I don't even use FT8. I really don't want to learn. So if you have any grasp of these things, you're probably far more qualified than I am to do what I do. I'm known by some for my programming prowess, but in short order, if you decide to try, you're going to leave me in the dust. So let's get back to the but. Much of that depends on what radio you want to use and what you want to spend. Some older radios, such as the Astro Spectra that I'm talking on right now, do require an older computer and an older operating system. Some require DOS. Some newer and somewhat more expensive models can be done on Windows 10, 11, maybe. I just don't own any Windows 11 computers, so I can't comment there. Pretty much the mandatory thing you'll need for most radios is a serial port on whatever you're using. There are those that say that you can use as a USB serial adapter with DOS box and different emulators. And if you can do that, that's great. But again, I'm not a computer tech, and I've heard of too many people locking up radios because something just stopped working midstream while programming. So I just go with what works. Now, as a ham, you're likely someone who enjoys scrounging. You know someone who has hordes of old computers laying around. So build one up yourself. And once you do, there are plenty of us who will help you with whatever software you need and show you how to use it. It's going to be a long winter coming up, folks, and this is a great investment of your time. And even as a not-computer guy, it's fun to do. Beyond that, it's programming cables and possibly something called a RIP box, which is basically a plug-in module to help the radio interface with the computer. So computer aside, you might invest $50 or so in the programming equipment. Again, this presentation is meant as an introduction, so we're keeping things to a wide scope here. You're more than welcome to ask specific questions after the presentation is concluded. Let me drop it.
WA2HKS repeater, Buffalo.
Another comment that I hear quite regularly. So, what do they do other than ham radio? Well, a lot of it's going to depend on the model. Many local hams own a UHF Motorola XTS 3000. You'll see one pictured in the PowerPoint presentation. This is a handheld UHF radio that does both wide and narrow band FM and P25 between 403 and 470 megahertz. It also does other neat things like MDC decode, so you can see on the screen what the MDC squawk is transmitting to dispatch. Everyone that I know that has an XTS 3000 is addicted to it. It's pretty much on all the time at my house. I can use it for UHF ham, GMRS, P25, and receive all the things like Buffalo PD, Amherst, Kenmore and Tonawanda PD, and the Niagara County Trunking System, which are all P25, and can be received only with a scanner costing multiple hundreds of dollars more. Complete setup for an XTS 3000 with a charger will run around $100 on eBay. A couple of you have the XPR 4550 mobile radios. With those, you can do standard UHF ham, GMRS, DMR, and Moto Turbo, which is a form of DMR used in business band communications. This means that you can receive things that generally can only be received on a crazy expensive unit in a scanner, like Lancaster PD, Lackawanna PD, West Seneca PD, UB Campus Police, and about 50 others. At the moment, I'm programming an HT that's going to do all these same things. Stay tuned for that. Wait one. With this, let's cover the frequency ranges of Motorola radios. Generally speaking, you'll find that most Motorola radios are in the ranges of 138 to 174 VHF and in the UHF bands of 403 to 470, 806 to 860, and 896 to 950 megahertz, roughly speaking. Now, not all the radios are in these exact bands. For example, some are 480 to 512, some are 430 to 470, some are 403 to 430. This is where knowledge of model numbers and what's referred to as splits comes into play. A split to the Motorola enthusiast denotes the frequency range of the radio, and it's a digit within the model number. A lot of times you'll hear me referring to the split of a radio. There's no quick reference I can give you here that will be a foolproof guide to this, but this is where Google can help you in a radio that you're interested in person. But just to give an example, a quick example, in many of the radio's model numbers, it's the fourth digit. When you look at a Motorola serial or a model number, A K, for example, would be VHF 138 to 174. An R would be 403 to 470. An S would be 450 to 512. And a U would be 800. A W would be 900. Again, this can vary depending on the model of the radio. Older radios, such as the regular Spectra and the HT600 or MT1000, use the third digit, 3 being VHF, 4 UHF, 5 for 800, and 7 for 900. Am I confusing yet? Well, don't be overwhelmed. It's something that can be most times easily researched, and if you get to shopping for them, you know what to look for. Now, there's other Motorola's that can work in the range of, say, 29 to 42 megahertz or 42 to 50 megahertz, and even one or two that do 220, which are extremely rare, and some of these can be converted to ham band. The one radio to avoid is an 800 megahertz radio unless you need parts. If you see the letter U as the fourth digit of the serial number, the best use of that radio is to put it underneath the tongue of your trailer when you park it. Much of the 800 band is now LTE and 5G and can't be converted to anything really usable. I have a few of them here, but I use those for parts or monitoring the NFTA, which broadcasts in that range. Wait one. Okay, so we talked about the great things that Motorola's can do, but they do have limitations as well. Probably the biggest example of this is the fact that no matter the model, they can only scan 16 frequencies at a time. The thought behind this is that any number higher than 16 would cause the radio operator to miss potentially crucial information or miss calls. We have to remember that these radios weren't designed as scanners, they were designed to save lives. Some, such as the XTS-3000, have programmable scan banks. I think I have the range of 116 frequencies in that radio, but the way I have the code plug set up, the user can add and delete frequencies from the scan bank as desired. The second thing is they're really not designed for rag chewing. Generally speaking, law enforcement won't sit on the air ratchet jawing about the latest episode of Survivor with dispatch. Therefore, running full power on a mobile and liking to yak will make the radio get hot, and I mean really hot. Running a net like this would normally cause this radio to get so hot I wouldn't be able to touch it. Simple solution is just to run at lower power like I am right now. This, she's a little warm, but she's a bit. For HTs, the battery is designed to last over a full shift, but not while constantly communicating. Fortunately, larger battery capacities can be purchased, and some radios have a programmable battery saver feature. For example, the Genesis series of HTs, which are the oldest programmable Motorola HTs, dating back to 1989, have an absolutely incredible battery life. Just ask Rick, KC2XD. Many times the battery in his HT600 outlasts him, if you can believe that. Now, programming capability can be a limiting factor to a degree, but beyond that, the most observed limitation is the fact that unless you're going to spend upwards of a grand, you can't get a dual-band Motorola radio. My answer to that? So what? We're hams, so having an extra radio never poses a problem. We love having a lot of radios, right? Or you can stack them, just like I've done in my QRZ photo, or also shown in the PowerPoint presentation. Lastly, under limitations, the biggest perceived one is the lack of an agile VFO. You can't just reach over and spin the dial to whatever frequencies you want. But when was the last time you ever did that on VHF or UHF? Chances are you don't use more than half a dozen frequencies on most of these bands, so it's not as much of a limiting factor as you think. Let me drop it for one. Place to start, in my opinion, is with the tried and true Motorola HT1000. A lot of you guys have them already. 16-channel VHF or UHF, just a volume knob and a programmable switch for power level, scan, and a channel knob. tough as nails, good battery life, and nearly indestructible. You can purchase one of these with a good battery and charger for around the $50 range. And until you get a computer going, I'll be glad to do the programming for you. My programming fee for most radios is $5 or a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke. Hell, I don't think I bought a 2-liter bottle of Diet Coke for months last year, and I drink the stuff like a fish. Or just go out on shopping on eBay and see what's there. Most of you know me, and you're always welcome to shoot me a text or an email with a link, and I'll be glad to give you some information. Wow, well, that went really fast. We're already at the conclusion of my presentation on Motorola and the ham radio operator. At this point, I'd like to ask for additional check-ins to the Barrett TechNet. Please call W2EUP.
W2EUB.
N2JRS, Vince. Portable in Buffalo. Good evening.
KE2FLX, Carl, GQR.
Net control.
KE2AAC, Andrew and Clarence. Good evening.
Kilo Hotel 6, Echo Romeo Tango, Jeff, Northwest Las Vegas.
Kilo Delta 6, Sierra Ida November, Paul in Las Vegas.
Okay, Net would like to welcome N2JRS, KE2FLX, KE2AAC, KC2YTJ, KD7ERT, and KD2SIN. Any corrections or anybody I missed?
Yeah, correction, Net Control. Kilo Hotel 6, Echo Romeo Tango, KH6ERT. Thank you.
KD, Garrett Williamsville.
Okay, appreciate the correction. KH6ERT and K2TKD. Welcome aboard, Garrett. Okay, let's go down the list. When called, please feel free to talk a little bit about any experience you have with Motorola or, you know, ask any questions you might have. We'll start off the top with my pal Jeremy, N2UGS. Take it away.
Hey, Tim and all on Net. Thanks for picking up the Net this evening. That was awesome. Really good introduction on Motorola radios. Like Tim said, you've probably heard him and I go chatting back and forth about splits and hex editing and all sorts of stuff. As I look across here to my bench, actually talking on a Motorola XPR 2500, which is it's DMR and analog. And below that I've got Motorola Astro on UHF and another Motorola Astro on different split on UHF, and then for VHF I use a GE Orion radio. But that one is just analog. I always wanted to learn about them, and one day I just decided to pick one up on eBay and dove in without any knowledge, and several years later sort of got the hang of it, but not everything. And with that, Tim, wanted to mention a couple more things on the Barra-Tech.com site. There's a Discord link on there. If you'd like to join the Discord channel or server, please click on the link. It's an invite. There's a bunch of us that are in there that chat away throughout the day and during the night. We also put bulletins up there for upcoming events. We've got a place where you can share a picture of your shack, and it's just a good place to keep in touch with everybody. Also on the top of the page, there's a button to join Barra. Click that button, fill out the online form, and click the button for PayPal. We'd always love for anyone to join and become a member. With that, I'll send it back to you, Tim, back to W2EUP from N2UGS.
All right. Well, I appreciate the words, Jeremy. Yeah, I don't think anybody can ever learn all the stuff in here. And, you know, it's kind of funny because there's a lot of things contained within these radios that, you know, we as amateurs either would never use or we can't use. But one of the things I had to do is learn how, now a lot of these Motorolas can actually control siren amplifiers and lights on a police car. So, of course, I had to buy a siren amplifier and a DEK head and, you know, get to learn to do all that. And that's actually pretty cool. So there's, you know, there's kind of a never-ending stream of different things you can do. Next up on the list, Roy, KA8BYU. Pick it up from W2EUP.
Good evening, Tim, and everybody on the net. KA8BYU. Yeah, my first experience was back when I worked at the airport. At one point, we used HT1000s. And then, a little further down the line, we used the XTS3000. And I'm on a MT2000 right now. I've got an XTS3000. An HT1000, and an MTX9250. So I got a few more rows sitting around that I've gotten through Tim. You want the go-to guy? Yeah, it's the man for you to talk to. Back to you.
You know, it's a funny thing about Motorola is when you get to looking around on eBay, you can buy one for $50 or you can buy 10 for $200. You know, it's strange. It's like, okay, well, why wouldn't I buy 10 of these? Okay, well, then you can pass along the others to everybody else for, you know, 20, 30 bucks a piece, and everybody else has them too. So it's always fun. Over to Bill and 4NJJ from W2EUP.
Yeah, W2EUP. Tim, thanks for going to the net tonight. Great topic. One that's near and dear to me. I'm almost always on a Motorola. I'm on one right now. An XTR7550. Going through a Motorola repeater, a Motorola Quantar repeater. I caught the bug about 12 years ago when I moved out here with one of my Elmer's BS, the no BS station. Or all BS all the time, depending on how you look at it. And it's been a learning experience, and they hold up a lot better out here in Vegas with the heat. My Yaesu kept overheating. I had an 8900. It's always overheating everything. You get in your car, and even this time of year, the inside of your car is 150, 160 degrees. The Motorola just takes it like a champ and keeps going. So. I've messed with DMR, I've messed with D25, I've even messed with Tetra, which is a European standard. Those radios can be very cheap if you find them in the U.S. or very expensive. So, yeah, it's a great topic, and I can't emphasize the audio quality out of the box is almost always great. It has the pre-emphasis and de-emphasis that a lot of your TRICOM radios, your bowl banks don't, which is why it's sometimes frankly difficult to listen to. But, yeah. All right, well, thanks for doing the net, and I hope everybody has a good week. N4NJJ, Bill and Henderson. Back to net.
No, thanks, Bill. Yeah, you know, I remember hearing about Tetra before, just in passing. And, of course, when you mentioned that, the first thing I did was wrote it down and look it up later. Thanks. You may have given me something new to look into. And at this point, we'll pass it over to Dan, N2FTW, who just got his first Motorola. Dan, anything for the net tonight?
Thank you, Tim. I'm thoroughly enjoying the, it's the MT-1000, and thoroughly enjoying it. It's like, I mean, I look at it, handle it, and I think, you know, this is a real radio. It's filled with rage and anger and energy, and it wants to be used. And I get what you were saying when you opened everything up and you talk about the fun of radio, that you just don't really get the same passion about opening up a box and, you know, here's your new Radtel. I mean, I get it, you know, try not to be a radio snob, but I really get the appeal. And, you know, it's my second commercial radio, and yeah, I think commercial radios are, you know, they're more apt to tinker with because they are a little bit harder to program, a little bit hard. You know, once you start using them, you know, it's fine. Everything, you know, evens out in the end, and you get on the air, and you really don't have to ask, how does this audio sound? It's, you know, it's going to sound good. But I'm kind of curious about, you know, the Motorola, the dark side or the underworld of Motorola, in a sense. What you, like the front pro, like the front panel programmable models that are out there, the 2500 and the 5000 that you see on eBay that you don't necessarily need a computer to program, and some of the gray market models that you'll see on Asian websites that do have VFOs. Always been, you know, kind of curious, and things like that, the VFO stuff, you don't really see any information about it online. So I imagine that would be a rabbit hole that somebody might have to start digging. But enough of my rambling. So thank you for hosting this, and back to you.
All right, Dan. You know, it's strange that you mentioned about the front panel programmable. The one thing you should be aware of in those, when they say front panel programmable, they mean that to a degree. For example, if you've got a receive-only frequency set up in the radio, you can set it up as a new receive-only frequency, but you can't enable transmit on it. That's something that has to be done in the radio software. So, now, I've only had experience with the JT-1000, which is the HD-1000 variant that they call it an FBI edition, front panel programmable. I actually have one. And it's good, but it's not, you know, it's not as intuitive as you'd think. But I hope you get one, because if you do, I'd definitely like to check it out. Over to Dave, W2ZZA from W2EUP, somebody that has a true passion for broadcast.
W2EUP, W2ZZA returning. Good evening, Tim. And as you can probably hear in the background, there's some activity on the instant message here. Yes, tracking on the Netlogger. Thank you for doing that, whoever's doing it. I guess it was Jeremy, or maybe Bill. So thank you for doing that, because it's really nice to be able to track online who's checked in and who's coming up next, but you still took me by surprise because I was doing something else. Now, to the point about Motorola, well, I don't currently have any Motorola gear in the shack or even in any of the vehicles, but I'm a long-time Motorola user, as some of the net membership can testify, at least one. I go back as far as the Motorola Motrac, yeah, and if any of you know what those were, they were a trunk mount unit that was hybrid, They had a solid-state receiver. In fact, they were the transistor research line. It said right on the front panel of the control head with the inch diameter cable running to the trunk, and they also had a tubed transmitter, or at least a partly tubed transmitter. Some of them had a full tubed exciter. Others had just a tubed final, which was built into the heatsink. They were a thin, flat radio, and again, trunk mount. That's my first experience with Motorola, and then various handhelds over the years that I've used for land mobile use and so on. But none currently. But Motorola clearly was a leader in two-way communication, and I wonder if anybody in the net membership knows the slogan they used for selling radios to police organizations. Back to net control.
Well, there's only two that come to mind that I know of. One was their slogan, intelligence everywhere. And the other one was, no police chief has ever been fired for buying a Motorola. You know, and it's funny you should mention about that. I've actually got a MOCOM 70 that I'm going to be trying to hook up an Agile VFO to through a Raspberry Pi eventually over the course of this winter. The only problem is I can't seem to get a stupid wiring diagram to go between the head and the body of the radio. I've got the cable, but the cable numbers don't match up in the head, so I got to try and figure out that puzzle. Rick, we'll go over to KE2HCT, who's been heavy into Motorola for about the last 2 months and is a Motorola programmer himself. Go ahead, Rick. Pick it up from W2EUP.
W2EUP, this is KE2HCT, and you definitely got me hooked. You know, every day when I leave the house, I think I look at these three HTs and I go, I got to take the Motorola because it sounds so good and it's so much fun to use. And you really got me hooked. And matter of fact, I bought five more from you. And then I just recently, when I was at the club, you talked me in. I ordered that 3000 after I left. I can't wait to get it. So you really help out the sport and taught me everything I know about Motorolas. Thanks, Tim.
That's my pleasure. And my sincerest hope is that you're going to start teaching me some things. And don't think that you won't, because everybody has their role to play, and the more people that get involved, the more we all learn. John, KK4JJK from W2EUP, good evening. On the list is Ray, KC2LEF. Pick it up from W2EUP.
W2EUP, this is KC2LEF. Never even touched a Motorola. I wouldn't know where to start other than to buy some Diet Pepsi and hand you some money. Back to net control, it's Ray, KC2LEF.
Curious, I'm always out at the Lancaster Club on Thursdays. I'm the property chair of the club, and I usually bring my programming computer with. As a matter of fact, I have to do a 900 radio for somebody, so I'm going to be bringing my programming computer to the club with me tomorrow night, and I'll be there, I get there probably around 5:30, so you're always welcome to stop out. Over to my buddy Tom, W2TEW. This is W2EUP. Good evening, pal.
Good evening, Tim. How are you? Another excellent presentation. I can safely say everything I've learned about Motorola I know from you, and unfortunately you've told me more than I remember, but I have two Motorola radios, which I'm very happy with, and after listening to this tonight, I'm going to try to use them more. So back to net, and excellent job.
Thanks, pal. And incidentally, the cupcakes will be ready tomorrow, so make sure you keep in touch. You want to get them while they're fresh.
Good evening, Bob. K2LED from W2EUP. Pick it up.
W2EUP, K2LED. Tim, nice presentation. Well done. And, you know, just when you were talking about dry firing, I was dry firing at my Chinese HT, but I forgot to unload the chamber, but hopefully this thing still works. Let's see. Ha, ha, ha. Anyways, really enjoyed the presentation. I do have a Motorola XTS5000 that I picked up from Jeremy, and I primarily use it just to listen to the Town of Tonawanda Police, and I really haven't played around with it on ham radio. Most of my ham radio time is on HF, not VHF, UHF, although winter time, when I'm at the bench in the basement, I'll jump in there on the late night. And also, you guys kind of motivated me looking around at the Barra webpage. You kind of motivated me to sign up for Discord. So I'm a new member of Discord. So I threw a hello in there. And Bill, thank you for the hello from Las Vegas. Anyways, I think that's all I have. KE2LED. Back to you, Tim.
I appreciate that, Bob. Yeah, I have to actually join the Discord myself. I've heard of Discords. I don't know what they are, but now I kind of know what they are. Probably should get a little bit more of the program. Don't want to be technologically challenged, at least too much. Over to Christopher, KI7VLP from W2EUP. Good evening.
Hi, W2EUP from KI7VLP. Don't really have much for the net. I was just over here listening. Me and Bill are hanging out in my backyard, hanging out. So I haven't really been listening too much, to tell you the truth. But good net. You had a bunch of people out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of check-ins. This is great. We've got a lot of great activity, a lot of great people, and I know most of you personally, and those I don't, I hope to. Rick, the chairman of the 444 from W2EUP, you've got Motorolas. What you up to?
Oh, my gosh, do I have Motorolas. Let me tell you, I got rid of five Bofangs and gathered about five Motorolas in the place of it. And now I know what a rib box is. So I learned something new. Good net, Tim. I appreciate it. KC2XD back to net. Good job.
Thanks, Rick. Sounded good as always. And we appreciate your presence here on the repeater. It wouldn't be what it is without you. Over to Thomas, W2BYJ from W2EUP. Good evening.
Good evening, Tim, and everybody on that. Yeah, I went pretty hard with the Motorola stuff when you first introduced it to me about a year ago. Ended up with five or six HT1000s at one point. Got rid of a couple of those. Got some XTS3000s, MT2000s. I got a couple Genesis series radios sitting around as well. So I got my hands on plenty of Motorolas. I'm working on getting better with programming them. My current programming computer is a little bit flaky. And at a recent HamFest, I picked up some new computers, but I haven't had time to test them out. I'd say new to me computers. They're quite old XP and 32-bit type of machines. So hopefully some of those work a little better than the sketchy situation I got going right now with programming them. Anyway, I got to take care of some stuff around the house. Otherwise, I'd go into more detail. This is W2BYJ, back to net.
Yeah, which reminds me, I've got an MT2000 for you when I see you at the club tomorrow. Don't let me forget. Okay, and now we turn it over to the man behind the machines. Who here doesn't know Ted, WA2HKS from W2EP. Good evening, boss.
Well, thanks, Tim.
This is WA2HKS, and I want to congratulate you on the fine presentation. Very interesting. I never really got in heavily into the Motorola stuff, but I was found your presentation informative. This repeater that we're using is a mishmash of a lot of stuff from many manufacturers and a lot of homemade stuff. And many times I use Motorola parts in this repeater. So there are some parts that have the big M on them. And just a reminder, anybody that's interested in the technical stuff, as a matter of fact, I've been giving visual presentations of the repeater, and tomorrow night at the BOCES Potter Oates Center in West Seneca, we have a meeting at 7 p.m., and I'll have, a visual presentation on all of the remote receivers. We've got a voting system and six remote receivers, so you'll actually see what they're made up of. So back to you, Tim, and you're doing a fine job. Go ahead. This is WA2HKS.
Well, thanks for the kind words, Ted. I really appreciate it. And as a new member of BARA, I've been a member of BARA for about 6 weeks. I hope to be gradually getting more and more involved with the organization, and I appreciate everything that you do. I think we all do. We all owe you a great debt of thanks. And now we'll turn it over to Bill, AC2KS from W2EUP.
Good evening to everybody on the net. Tim, what a great presentation. I found it very interesting. As far as Motorola goes, the only experience I've had is with some older units, handhelds that were Christly controlled, I used to use for my business. And also, we did use Motrax back then, as David mentioned, for communication. And, I mean, those radios were just, you couldn't kill them, you know. They were just very, extremely ruggedly built, and they just always worked. You know, you could always depend on them. Plus, we used to do some commercial service of, we worked for some taxi cab companies, and a lot of those had really ancient Motorola units that were tube type. They were trunk mount units, and you know, with the control head mounted up front. And believe it or not, they were pretty reliable as well. So, I mean, Motorola has a great reputation. You know, it's certainly a company you can rely on. And, you know, Tim, you've really got me interested. I'm going to start looking for couple handhelds, and maybe I'll reach out to you for some help with the programming. But very interesting presentation. Great job. I'll turn it back to Net, AC2KS, clear.
I appreciate that, Bill. Now, my email address is also on my QRZ page, or I'll give it to you, it's n2lcj@yahoo.com. Feel free to drop me an email anytime if you have any questions or whatever. And, I definitely hope to catch you around. And I will turn it over to my buddy Dave, AE2DO, W2EUP. Good evening.
W2EUP, AE2DO. Tim, thanks for a great presentation. Currently, I don't possess one of the Motorola units, but I know we've talked about it out at the club on Thursday nights, and maybe it's time to take the plunge. Great presentation, Tim. Back to you.
All right, well, thanks for being a part of tonight's BARA TechNet. Sorry I missed you on the last go-around, Greg. KE2GCW from W2EUP, good evening.
W2EUP, this is KE2GCW. I'm completely sold, so I'll definitely be looking for one of those HTs and reaching out to you for some help with programming. Back to net control.
I may or may not have a couple HD1000s that are extras or spares. And I'm pretty sure that Thomas W2BYJ has some available as well. Just ask around. There's always a ham radio operator that's got an extra Motorola and is willing to help out somebody curious. And now we're going to turn it over to somebody that I have programmed, what, Joe, it's probably at least 10 radios for. Geez, I think everybody he knows owns one. KE2WCM from W2EUP. Good evening. Turn it over next to, let's see who's next on the list, KD7VGK from W2EUP.
VGK, I'm a portable landline computer. I have Motorola radios. I used to work for MS company. That's all we use. And then I picked up...
Unfortunately, you didn't hold the repeater very long, but I did catch, I'd say, a good more than half of what you said. And, well, we do appreciate you coming aboard tonight. Vince, N2JRS, who I've known for probably 35 years, and who's one of the upper muckety-mucks with the Aries Razies. I know you've got some experience with Motorola from W2EUP. Good evening, Vince.
W2EUP and the group N2JRS. Good evening. Yes, you could say that. I did take the plunge and purchased a XTS-3000 and been, you know, working my way up the learning curve with it. You know, successfully programmed it. You know, got some conventional FM frequencies in there for ham and was successful in loading some, you know, P25 stuff so I could listen to, like, Buffalo Police and, you know, National Grid got P25 as well, so I got them in there. So, yeah, just, you know, a little at a time. I just keep adding to the knowledge base, and, you know, someday we'll get totally proficient and comfortable doing this. Back to the P25, though. Just in case this isn't widespread knowledge or not, there is a UHF ham repeater that will do conventional FM and P25, and that's the 443.975 megahertz machine, which is down in Chestnut Ridge Park. So welcome to the experiment and play there. I know it does work because I programmed it into this radio, and it works just fine. So with that, I'll turn it back to net control. N2JRS.
All right, Vince. Yeah, and for those of you that I programmed an XTS-3000 for, you'll find that on Zone 1, Channel 4. And Vince is right. It works great. Hey, Vince, real quick, I've never heard anything on National Grid P25. Do you ever catch anything there?
Once in a while. I put up into a scan group, and I do get some activity there every now and again.
Huh, interesting. Well, just as a corollary to what I was saying about the programming, you can also do Niagara County trunked P25. All you have to do is set it up with the frequencies and the NAC codes and what it ends up doing until I figure out the way trunking is set up for affiliate scan, which is another thing. You can catch everything that comes across on the Niagara County side. Incidentally, like I was saying before, if you're interested in the Cattaraugus County trunked P25, those can be done with VHF, XTS-3000s, and Astro Spectras as well. Just a couple things to note. Over to Carl, our who I think is a friend of just about everybody on here, KE2FLX from W2EUP.
Good evening. The time is 9 p.m. Weather conditions clear. Temperature 53 degrees. WA2HKS repeater, input 449, output 444.
Good evening, all. I am Carl, KE2FLX. Excellent presentation, Tim. And, my only experience with Motorola so far is a pair of bubble wrap radios they had for GMRS. And they did what I needed them to do. I got this Kenwood. Hate to be a traitor, but. It was given to me, so it's good. Also resurfaced. I think this one came out of a school bus. All right, awesome presentation. It's been fun so far. Back to that, KE2FLX.
Good point. I had intended to bring up Kenwood commercial radios in this presentation. Kenwood actually makes an excellent commercial radio. Now, Kenwoods are a little bit different. The programming software is much, much easier to use. Kenwood doesn't do P25. They do what's called NXDN, which is a digital format. As well, a lot of the Kenwoods won't do the MDCD code, the typical squawk you hear. They use something called FleetSync, which in Scandi, I think the only company that uses it, I think, is ECMC Security is still on FleetSync, but I may be wrong on that. But the advantage of the Kenwood radios is if you program 200 channels, 300 channels, it'll scan them all. And ask me how I know this, because I have Kenwoods that I have 200 or 300 channels programmed in, and I scan them all and miss quite a bit. So I guess Motorola's right on that one. Andrew, KE2AAC. Good evening, my friend, from W2EUP. Hop in.
Hey, what's going on? KE2AAC here. You know how it is. Same crap, different day. And there's 365 of them a year. But the glass is always half full. Finally starting to feel better. I've been dealing with some thyroid problems for some time now, and I'm finally starting to feel better. I'm coming back around. As far as Motorola goes, got some projects lined up, but I haven't really got around to them yet. Right now I'm just working on the Discord server here for the Bera late night thing. KE2AAC.
Alrighty, and Andrew is also an XTS 3000 owner. Let's see, Mike KC2YTJ is listed as listening. So we'll turn it over to Santiago, KA6ERT from W2EUP. Good evening. And nothing heard. Over to Paul, KD2SIN from W2EUP. There. Garrett, how you doing, pal? W2EUP. Anything you'd like to add to the net tonight?
Hello, everybody. K2TKD. I don't have much experience at all with the Motorolas.
from the sounds of it, I think I need to be getting one and adding it to the collection here soon.
Well, you know what they say, the radios are like Jell-O, and there's always room for Jell-O. All right, Garrett, well, thanks for hopping in, and hopefully we'll see you up at the W2SO Club tomorrow night. Okay, at this point, one last call for check-ins, rechecks, or anybody else with something to add, call W2EUP.
W2EUP. This is KE2BYN to your neighbor. I got in the car late. I'm sorry I didn't hear the presentation, but I've been listening for over a half an hour, and I do have some experience when I was a kid working the ambulance. We had Motrax in some of the cars, and the other flat radio that sat, it was a big square. I don't know, they were in taxis. KE2BYN, thank you.
Joe is everybody's friend. Appreciate you coming coming aboard tonight. And, you know, you just reminded me of something. Back 30-plus years ago, I used to drive a Kenmore cab when I was in college. And there were some Motorolas in them. And, boy, let me tell you, you don't want an ex-taxi radio. there's all kinds of things spilled all over those things and in those things. I would have hated to work at FM Communications back in the day. Not that I know if it's any better now. All right. Well, before we close tonight's session of the Bear Attack Net, I'd like to thank all 28 stations who checked in and participated. Your comments and discussion help make this net a valuable learning experience for all of us. Special thanks to our guests and those who shared their knowledge this evening. Taught me a couple things. Remember, the TechNet meets every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Bera system, and each week we feature a new topic for technical discussion. We encourage everyone to continue experimenting, asking questions, and sharing your experiences with the amateur community. This is N2LCJ, Net Control, for tonight's Bera TechNet, now returning the WA2HKS repeater system back to normal amateur use. 73s, everyone, and have a good evening.
Thanks, Tim. W2ZZA. QSY to 29.6 FM. If anybody has 29.6 FM operation, I'll be listening. That's Simplex.
It's a pleasure and an honor, Dave. Thanks for being a part of the net. Into LCJ.
The phrase is, you can't outrun Motorola. They sold a lot of radios with that phrase.
Well, the other part of the equation is, if you can outrun the officer carrying it, he can whack you in the head with it and therefore apprehend you.
Well, that's true, too. I think back in the 50s and 60s, when that phrase was popular, the radios were much too heavy to lift. They didn't have a lot of portables. And the trunk mounts were, 45, 50 pounds.
I'm going to have to get a bat wing patch for my hat.
Well, you're the denizen of the night as it is. I'll be right back into LCJ.
This is a good net, KC2XD.
That's a great net.
It's KC2XDW. I feel like, you know, Motorola radio, it wants to be used. You know, I say it's filled with anger and rage. It just has energy. And there's a sense that, you know, like I said, it wants to be used.
Well, I waited for rush hour to die down here, which normally works, but this is the time of year, it's 6:10, where I'm headed west, and the sun is right in my eyes.
Oh, poor Bill.
Oh, is that, are you on the Sony?
Yeah, I'm on the Sony.
Okay, yeah, the Sony sounds pretty good.
Yeah, we should have just used this to check in. We would have been a lot clearer. No hash and trash there.
Yeah, well, or get one of them, what is the Motorola Ion. I wonder if that's a fully open Android OS, though. Or probably not.
Yeah, not sure. KI7 VLP, I forgot the ID.
So Ryan said that Ryan's All-Star is back up and working. He said he talked to SIN. I didn't know Brian was on here. I don't see him attached. Oh, well. Let's see. What else is going on? I don't know. Hopefully the traffic's cut down. It says 26 minutes. That's more manageable.
Heck yeah. It's way better than an hour.
Yeah, for sure. So, let's see. I cut over, man. I hate driving this time of day because, like, I don't know how well I trust the vision and tinting. And, you know, you see people with their windshields and they're just, like, all frosted over from, like,